Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hello, you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. This is number 847, news of the week that lets you have action steps so you can take control of your health and live at the top of your curve till very near the end. We have a great guest for our podcast today, pair of guests, the Korns, who talk about medical marijuana. They're educators, they're Harvard-trained anesthesiologists, board-certified, but they did something extra interesting. They've learned all about medical marijuana so they can advise other doctors, teach other doctors what the benefits, risks are, and where the pluses and minuses are with this. So they'll be on in the second part of the show, or the podcast, as we call it. But right now, let's talk about the other news of the week. We're going to get to the divorce effects. That's right, Well Beyond Wellness segment. Kids whose parents have bitter relationships are more likely to be sickly when they're adults. Wellness foreplay, obesity, inactivity, and obesity and inactivity could outpace smoking in the cancer death risk for Americans. And, if you will, adding to that, more than 10% of the world is now obese. The wellness foreplay, this is actually a fun one. Fun names make diners more likely to eat their veggies. Well, you knew that already. Good marketing can sell just about anything, even broccoli. The Automegas, cognitive behavior therapy helps patients live with new devices. And Well Beyond Wellness, why does hair turn gray at a young age and what you can do about it? Those are our key stories of this week. And remember, our guests are the Korns, who talk about medical marijuana, what a doctor needs to know. And this is all doctors need to know this, not just doctors who certify it or prescribe it. And they made the point, you can't prescribe it as a physician. You can recommend it or certify it. If you prescribe it, you're breaking federal laws. If you recommend it or certify that the person is eligible for it, you can do that under the current laws of the federal and state. I didn't realize that, federal and state government. In any case, that's a key point that you'll hear if you listen to the podcast, wonderful podcast, that follows the guest segment. But now let's talk about obesity. This is the way that is happening. 13 types of cancer are linked to excess body weight, and even losing weight after you get them radically decreases recurrences. For example, with breast cancer, getting to a normal weight from the weight of the average person with breast cancer, who is overweight, the average person, but getting to a normal weight decreases reoccurrences by 50%. Pretty remarkable. If you walk 30 minutes a day, add 2 fruits and vegetables to your normal diet, walk 30 more minutes, in this randomized study of breast cancer, you decrease recurrences 92%. And while 20% of cancers are caused by poor diet and a lack of physical activity or excess weight, that and the 20% caused by tobacco means that at least 50% of cancers are preventable by lifestyle changes. At least that's what this study in the New England Journal said this week. Another one of the interesting studies that came out at the same time, no country in the globe has reduced overweight or obesity levels since 1990, and the increase in obesity is about 40% since 1990, bringing us from 6% of the world's population obese in that era to now 10%. In the U.S., of course, we've gone from about 20% in 1990 to 34% now. Pretty gosh darn crazily impressive weight gains. We got to stop eating so much or start doing more physical activity. And one of the keys we found is managing stress. But the key point, now we are really, as a world, getting fat. And whoever started this have exported their bad habits pretty effectively. In the United States, 12.5% of children are obese, up from 5% in 1980. And, if you will, we have the dubious distinction of combining everyone of having the largest increase of any country, jumping from 16% of our entire population to 26.5%, again, in the adult population, it's about 34%. I think I'll go to another story pretty quick, but this is also a downer story, if you will. So I've got some downer stories as well as some upper stories today. This downer story is that the kids whose parents have bitter relationships are more likely to be sickly adults. So this compared divorces where the parents still live together amicably versus the parents talked together but shared the kids, lived separately, versus were bitter and had fights and fought over the kids. It turns out that when you fight over the kids, those kids end up to have a whole bunch of bad things happen to them as adults. Not only are they more likely to end up alcoholic, but they're more likely to have colds, flu, three times more likely to have colds, and in fact, much more likely to have days off from work, etc. So this long-term study of this, if your parents fought over you, I think you should immediately adopt as many darn healthy habits as you can, maybe go through stress management programs, etc., because you've got a second bad genetic predisposition. Not only do you have the genes your parents had, but you've got their fighting that is prejudicing you towards getting sick. Why does hair turn gray at a young age? This is fun one, and this is, in fact, the wellness foreplay. My favorite one of this week is also, there's another wellness foreplay, of course, that is fun names make diners more interested in eating their veggies. But this one is gray hair. It turns out most gray hair relates to a genetic predisposition for your melanocytes, those things that actually add color to hair, being damaged or deteriorating as you get older. And stress is a leading cause. Tobacco is a leading cause of damaging those. And you can see, the example is stress is a leading cause. You can see that in our presidents, they prematurely gray. They got a lot of stress. Obama prematurely grayed, much before, apparently, his mother did. In any case, it looks like keeping your arteries young and avoiding stress is a great way of preventing that. Fun names make diners much more likely to eat their veggies. Zesty Zinger, turmeric sweet potatoes, and twisted citrus glazed carrots were more popular by not a little bit, but a ton, than the same exact things prepared with the name called low-fat sweet potatoes or sugar-free carrots. Interesting that just the name changed the use greatly. How did they study this? Well, they did it at Stanford in their dining halls, testing it on 28,000 people. Really a impressive set of studies looking at that in a 46-day period during lunchtime when the veggies were given great names like dynamite chili with tangy lime, seasoned beets versus high antioxidant beets or simply beets. Whether it had a healthy name like high antioxidant beets or just simply beets, the marketing name, lime seasoned beets, did much better than the other names. Next story is on drug crisis. So what do you want to do for your kids? This is an action step. For your kids, for your husband, for your wife, whatever it is, always use broccoli forest. Always use zingy names like, is that citrus-laden broccoli? Or is that just plain, ordinary, broiled fish? Or whatever. Or is that just plain old steak or plain old burger? So do the reverse marketing for food that makes you older. Maybe the two of those together will help sustain behavior change. We don't have data on that. Drug crisis is pushing up death rates for almost all groups of Americans 25 to 44. So in virtually every racial and ethnic group, and in almost all states, the death rate is up over the last decade. So from 2005 to 2015, the death rate for African Americans is up 4%, Hispanics 7%, whites 12%, Native Americans 18% between the ages of 25 and 44 between 2005 and 2015. Preliminary data 2016 shows this trend is continuing. This is the first time ever that we've had this increase in a death rate for all segments, all races, and all genders of populations. Not only men, it's women too. Believe it or not, there are only two states in this entire time, and that is, if you will, take a guess, think about it. Actually, it's only one state and one district. It's Hawaii and the District of Columbia are the only ones that have had that decline. Every other state and every other district has had an increase in death rates for 25 to 44-year-olds. One of the reasons, it says, is maybe doctors are over-prescribing opiates, and they show that, in fact, after C-section, cesarean delivery in women who've had pregnancies, that it is 50% of the women most women get pills prescribed for 10 days, and 75% of women have unused medicine at the end of 2 weeks. So you've got to figure out who needs it, who doesn't need it. It's tougher for doctors. I don't know what the answer for this is, but the basic message is if you've got pills left over, make sure they're locked up, and even better, just flush them down the toilet or take them to one of those areas. I shouldn't say flush them down the toilet. Mix them with coffee ground and activated charcoal. Open the capsules, crush them, whatever you want to do, and then take them to your pharmacist for recycling so that no one gets them. Obesity, inactivity, we already talked about those because they're so big that they may now account for more cancer deaths than tobacco. That's huge, if you will. Let's get to one more key story, and that is a story about the pain management and living with a new device. It turns out that when people get a device such as a TENS unit or such as a implanted infusion of for opiates or for other pain killers or neuromodulation or a pump, it turns out they live much better with the new device if they've had actually cognitive behavior therapy and taught how to live with the new device before they try and live with it. Seems kind of funny that when you get a new device, you need someone teaching you how to live with the device in order to optimally live with it. But that's what the data say, and hope you adopt that as an action step. Last story of the day, aspirin is linked to higher serious bleeding in the elderly. In this study, which occurred in Lancet, says that you should take a protein pump inhibitor if you're taking daily aspirin and are 75 and older to warn off the bleeding risk of aspirin. I'd say take a half a glass of warm water or warm coffee before it. Take your one baby aspirin, take a half a glass of the coffee afterwards. That way the aspirin dissolves in the coffee or the warm water and not on your stomach lining. I think that will probably prove to be as effective. And that's our action step. Make sure you never take aspirin without taking warm water before and afterwards, whether in coffee, tea, or just in water. You've been listening to episode and podcast 847 of You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, giving you the latest news of the week and action steps you can do so you can live at the top of your curve, just like we gave you with aspirin, or just like we gave you with how to manage divorce, bitter divorce, or just like we gave you with how to avoid your hair turning gray. Now we have a wonderful set of guests coming on for this podcast guest special. We're going to talk about medical marijuana with Michael and Meredith Fisher Korn. They're the Korns from Harvard who've done an awful lot of work at educating other physicians about medical marijuana. You should get your physician to learn from them the way I have, and hopefully you will. Stay tuned for the podcast, the guest segment, coming up right now.